Beansy, how you doing today?
Just a beautiful Monday, right?
A little cool today, isn't it?
It's like, how do you go from like 35 degrees down to it feels like minus 5 today?
Yeah, I left my place with t-shirt and shorts and I had to go back in with a hoodie. But
really? You went back in?
I did.
Okay.
You know what? I could have braved it. 16 degrees. It's not that bad, but I figured, you know what? I miss wearing my hoodies. If I get the opportunity to wear a hoodie, I'm basically taking advantage of that.
Oh, those days are coming.
And you're like your umbrella guy too. You probably went in and grabbed your umbrella too.
I'm not umbrella guy. You know that. All right. Love having you on to talk a little Ottawa Red Blacks because hot topic. Certainly we heard from some season ticket holders earlier today on the program. A lot are disgruntled. Seen a lot disgruntled on social media. Heard from a couple disgruntled here today. The reality is this team's 1-7, and under Sean Burke, they're 1-7. But for a lot of fans, they're 1-18 at home in their last 19 home games, and a lot of fans are disgruntled, leaving time and time again from TD Place disappointed after home losses. Your thoughts on kind of the state of the Red Blacks as they have a bye week getting set for their second half of the season?
Yeah, I totally get the frustration. I think the reality is, if you break down their games, I think they played probably two bad games and a lot of winnable games. And as I wrote the other day, though, you can say, well, you know, it was an anomaly. It was only one game because let's face it, what they put out there last week was a stinker. I thought they played pretty well defensively. Special teams, I thought, was pretty good. But offensively, that just sum up the problems of the last 3 years. So while we can say, they can point to, well, it was just one game, we were bad for one game. For season ticket holders and people who've been going to Red Blacks games for 3 years, it's not one game. This is what's been going on for 3 years. So you can't tell people, you know what, we just had a bad game. The problem is they've had so many bad games that you point to the Sean Burke era, the Paul LaPolice era. It's 3 years. It was the Rick Campbell year. It was 2 years of Paul LaPolice. It's just been a lot of bad football. And the thing is, I don't know exactly where to put the blame. And there's being a lot of fingers pointed at the head coach. And I don't think they're ready to make a head coach change. So that probably, people are exasperated. That probably heightens the frustration.
I know we'll get more into the coaching and everything that's wrong with this football team, but can you explain the home record? Not just 18 of 19, but it kind of goes beyond that. They've oftentimes had a hard time winning at home, despite it often, especially in the years before the last few seasons, it being described as one of the better places to play in the CFL. The crowd has been tremendous in terms of numbers, volume, the party atmosphere, the location. Like we've talked to former players and current players about the struggles at home. How do you explain it?
I can't. I wish I could. I mean, it really is hard to put a finger on. If they weren't sitting with such a horrible record right now, I mean, the consolation is the past couple of years heading into 2022, they not only lost at home, they lost badly at home. It seemed like every game was like what happened last week. They were getting, they'd be behind 20-3 at the half, where there was no hope of them ever coming back. And what we've seen this year is, again, until the last game, they'd been competitive. They got into a shootout with Montreal. They could have beat BC. They were outplayed, I thought, in game two, but could have beat Winnipeg. So there were at least a lot of close calls, which I guess is some consolation coming off how horrific they've been the past couple of years at home. And then we saw what happened last week. And I think it's never, never, ever good when the fans are booing you. And that was what was happening. And in my mind, inexplicably, that they stuck with the quarterback, Caleb Evans, who could one day be a good quarterback in the CFL. And I thought had played pretty well in the two games leading into that. And the explanation being that he had come out strong in the second half. I think the fans' appetite for that offense clearly there needed, I thought, to be a change at halftime, and there wasn't. And I think a lot of fans, it just adds to the frustration that the offense just wasn't there. And I think if you're going to lose, you want to lose those 36 to 33 games. You don't want to be losing 17 to 3, where I don't think at any point really into the second quarter that there was any thought that the team might win.
Tim Baines is our guest from Post Media. I think the conundrum that Sean Burke is in right now is, look, he doesn't wear the same losses that a lot of other people do, whether it's players, whether it's coaches, whether it's fans, whether it's media, right? People that have left the stadium 18 of the last 19 times with a loss. He wears the 7 of 8 losses from this season. So it's going to be a different perspective. It's a fresh perspective. And I think that's a good thing. The problem is there are fans basically calling in saying that they're done or they will be done if a change is going to be made. Now, I get you don't want to be in a position making football decisions based on what the fans think, but, you know, there could be, I guess, business consequences if this doesn't turn around in short order with season ticket holders and longtime season ticket holders maybe deciding they're not coming back. We've already heard from some of those people here today on the phones if there isn't a change, and that puts him in a pretty tough spot.
I agree. I mean, certainly there is going to be, there's a level of patience right now with the head coach. And I think the perspective, and I totally understand the perspective, is that they're in a situation where they're not only if they decide to get rid of Paul LaPolice, they're not only getting rid of a head coach, they're losing an offensive coordinator. That's not easy to replace. First, let's get beyond the head coach thing. I mean, how often does that work out? Where you fire the head coach midseason, we need a new voice. Okay, then let's do that. We'll push Paul LaPolice aside, and they've got in-house replacements. They don't have to look outside for that. So let's do that. The problem the Red Blacks have is I'm not sure they have an offensive coordinator in-house. And in my mind, and I don't think this was particularly well thought out by the Montreal Alouettes, is that do you think you're going to be a better team? If you make that move, are you going to be a better team the next week? Are you going to be a better team the week beyond that? Are you going to be a better team in 6 weeks? To bring in an offensive coordinator from an outside organization or somebody who's unemployed, to bring in an offensive coordinator from outside the organization right now probably involves installing a new offense, putting something new in. How difficult would that be midseason? Do you think will the team get better? Will the team be able to at least get to a competitive level? I really, really don't think so. I don't think the Red Blacks are going to finish out the season if they keep losing, if it's loss after loss. They're going to have to do something. Is now the right time? I don't think you can react based on what happened last week. As bad a game as it was, I don't think they're going to react to that. Now, they've got two important games coming up against Edmonton. Let's see what happens there, because if things go sideways in those two games, then maybe things change. I don't think they're going to make a move right now, and I don't think they should.
What's your opinion on Caleb Evans and the progression that you've seen from him in his second year this year? I know it was progressing well the last few weeks until this most recent week. Where do you view him? Is it still somebody that's developing? Where do you, I don't know, compare him among other quarterbacks, or where you think he can be, whether it's a starting quarterback, a good backup quarterback? How do you view his progression?
I thought he'd taken big strides ahead, and then he faced the Calgary defense. I mean, Calgary threw some things at him, and it just looked like they had him befuddled most of the night. He really didn't know. I'm not sure the reads were great. That's a young quarterback, and so while I thought he'd taken big strides ahead, I think he took big steps back in that game and got exposed, and I'm not sure that he's ready. And can we write it off and say it was just a bad game for him? Maybe. I think the course of action I would take going ahead, I think that I would think about putting packages in for both quarterbacks. I would like to see I would like to think they would go with Nick Arbuckle starting against the Edmonton Elks. But I'd like to think they would have packages with Caleb Evans. I think they could use both of them very effectively and put some offense in there. But we'll see. They haven't announced, and I don't imagine they will till next week at practice, who their starter will be going forward.
Tim Baines is our guest from Post Media. And yeah, I mean, that's going to be a fascinating discussion. I mean, what did you think of Nick Arbuckle in limited time? It's certainly like the eye test, and I get Calgary backing off a little bit late in the game, but the eye test told you, you know, obviously he forced a couple in, but he forced a couple in because they needed to make plays and to get a touchdown. The eye test told me that this is a guy that looked better the other night, and maybe especially with the season on the brink, and I think with Edmonton back-to-back, and I don't know how much of the game you watched on Saturday night. I watched it all. The Elks looked absolutely awful. Like, there will be no excuse for losing to that team in either game, home or away. And if they lose one of those games, oh my goodness, especially at home, I don't even want to go down that road, given how bad they looked in the games that I've seen them play so far this year. I feel like, given the stakes, you should probably go with a veteran guy at this stage, especially given how the eye test looked the other night.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how much of a veteran guy Nick Arbuckle is. I mean, if you look at, he still hasn't played a lot of CFL games. The eye test would show that he did pretty well. Now, again, it was against maybe a less aggressive defense late in the game, a defense looking not to give up big chunks of yardage, dropping more guys back into coverage, and some second stringers in there. So it's really, really difficult to evaluate. That would be my decision. That's who I would go with. But again, I would put Caleb Evans in for packages. I would still have Caleb Evans playing significant portion of the game. But my starter next game would be Nick Arbuckle.
Now that we have 8 games under the belt here, but without obviously their QB1, how would you evaluate the rest of the offense, and I guess specifically some of the additions that were made?
Well, it's difficult. I mean, difficult. You look at the yardage that Jalen Acklin has. It's not difficult to say he's not a great, terrific addition. Is it fair to evaluate guys like Darvin Adams? Ryan Davis has only played in a couple of games now. Nate Behar is having a good season. But the guys that are there, I mean, Acklin has shown he's one of the top receivers in the CFL. I'm not sure they got the ball to him much last game. So, again, it's really difficult to evaluate because people are pointing at the offensive system maybe not being what they want to see. They're pointing at the quarterback as not being able to provide the effort they want to see. So it's difficult to evaluate the receivers. I think the running game is coming along a bit. It looked like Jackson Bennett got a lot more action last week, and for whatever reason, William Powell didn't get as many touches. But I think you're right, AJ. I think the next 2 games against Edmonton, you really, really, especially the next game being at home, you cannot let that record, that home record, slide with another loss there. That would just be disastrous. And I know I totally get why fans are upset that they're saying they won't go to another game. I mean, I don't know. Are you basing that on one game? Again, they've been in every game. Is being in every game enough? I guess not. Again, we're not looking at just one game. We're looking at a package of 3 seasons or 2.5 seasons, which they've really, really struggled. And if you're going to struggle, you better do it on the road. You better not stink at home, because your fans are going to remember that.
Tim Baines is our guest from Post Media. The crazy thing is, in all of this, you look at the East, Hamilton's 2-6, Montreal's 2-6, Ottawa's got 5 games against those 2 teams, 2 left against Toronto, 2 left against Edmonton. There are a lot of winnable games left, and one of those 3 teams for sure is going to be in the playoffs.
I don't think I've ever seen anything this crazy. It's like, can anybody establish themselves in second place? And I mean, first place, Toronto. Toronto now's running away with it with 4 wins. It's crazy. And I'm sure even Hamilton fans are extremely disappointed in their team. It's a team that's gone to back-to-back Grey Cups. And I'm sure the fans aren't cutting them much slack for their offensive struggles as well. So it takes some momentum. You got to get, and Ottawa had the 1 win, and it looked like, well, come on, okay, you can come back and get a 2nd win and establish some momentum, put some wins together, and you're going to be strongly in the playoff picture. But with what we saw last week, it's hard to have really, faith is not the word I'm looking for. It's just hard to believe that they're going to solve those offensive problems overnight. But I guess if you're going to do it, Edmonton's a pretty good team to do it against.
Yeah, somebody that doesn't really have any offensive problems is the BC Lions and Nathan Rourke. How do you explain what you're seeing from him, and what does his future hold?
How can anybody explain it? I mean, from what we're seeing, it's like generational talent. I mean, the guy has just stepped in there, and I think there were questions at the beginning of the year. Okay, BC is going to go on the cheap at quarterback. They're going to really take a gamble with this Canadian quarterback, really, who's had limited action. And wow, were they ever right with that one. It's tough to see it going any other direction other than when his CFL days are done, and that's going to be in the near future. He's going to get an NFL shot. How could he not? You just look at them, the poise, just what he's able to do at a young age is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's, you know, at the very least going to get a look. I mean, some people think he's going to get guaranteed money. We'll wait and see. I don't think the size issue is as big a deal as it used to be in the National Football League. He's 6'1" or 6'2", depending on who you believe. And there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the low 6-foot range. There's still some guys. I mean, Kyler Murray's 5'10", right? So this is a guy that seems destined. I mean, really, along with Zach Kolaros, I mean, those are the two best players in the league, and I don't even know who number three would be.
Yeah, no question. Hard to argue against that. Both in the West Division. Can we even pick an East MLP right now?
It's probably McLeod Bethel Thompson, right?
Yeah, I would have said maybe Andrew Harris, except he, in the past two games, hasn't done much. So, I mean, the Ottawa Redblacks would like to get in that conversation. They'd like to get some players in the conversation, but they've got a long way to go. But there is a long way to go in the season. It seems like that's the same old story, like year after year. It's, yeah, but we have a lot of games left. And then once you have a few games left, it's been the same old thing. So the Redblacks need to figure it out. And they really, for their head coach's future, I think they need to figure it out quickly.
One last one. All this talk about the Redblacks and what went wrong on the field, it felt like off the field, everything else from the helmets to the people they honored to the people they brought back to the weather, it felt like everything went right other than the football game, which kind of disappointed so many because it was a special night for a lot of people going to that Redblacks game on Friday.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like you said, there were a lot of great things going on. You could make an argument maybe too soon to honor the 2016 team. And certainly there were some faces missing. I think we would have loved to have seen. But when you start talking about guys like Sir Vincent Rogers and Moten Hopkins, you've got guys like that in the house. And it is a special night for sure. It's just too bad the team really fell flat in its face with all that going on.
Tim, always appreciate your insight. Enjoy you taking the week off. You golfing?
I'm trying to get positive energy built up this week. So I'm not sure that going to the golf course would really do that. So maybe I'll just sit and watch Netflix all week.
All right. Well, enjoy your week, and we'll see you next week. Look forward to what should be a massive game against Edmonton next weekend.
Thanks so much, guys.